Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys? We're going to be doing some important things today, and we're going to go through some very important components of Islam. What are we going to be doing today?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, barakatuh, abdullahi wa sallam, Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So today, inshaAllah ta'ala, we will go through the very basic understanding of, or the fiqh we should call it, the jurisprudence of the five pillars of Islam. Mm-hmm. And really this serves as a kind of introduction to a longer series that we'll be concluding now, myself and other mashayikh will be filming on the Salam channel, and we're calling it the Must Know Show, which is really the very basic Islamic ilmi kind of knowledge that we have to have as Muslims.
Perfect.
So today, inshallah, it's the five pillars.
Excellent. So let's say, for example, someone wants to, they've not been practicing for a while, or someone comes into Islam, yeah, or whatever it may be, and now what they want to do is they want to know how to do the basic five pillars of Islam.
Good.
Mashallah. Let's start with the prayer. What do they need in order to perform the prayer?
So, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with them, that Islam is built upon five pillars. Bunya al-Islam ala khams. Okay. Shahadati la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. That the testimony of faith, essentially, that there's none worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Messenger of Allah. That after that, wa iqam al-salah, and to establish the prayer. Now, just like any act of worship, there's a number of conditions that must be fulfilled in order for an action to be valid. And one of them, of course, in Salah, and this is the most important one, is Tahara, purification.
Okay.
Now, it's a long topic, and just to summarize it, the most important concept within purification is wudu.
Okay.
Is wudu. What is wudu?
You tell me.
Wudu literally comes from wada'a. It means to illuminate, subhanAllah. Right. But of course, the Islamic understanding of it, it's ablution. So it's the use of water on certain limbs with an intention, and you say Bismillah at the beginning. And by doing that, you've actually entered into a state of ritual purity that now allows you to pray your salah. But it's interesting because wada'a in Arabic actually means to illuminate. SubhanAllah. It's as if you're, by performing wudu, you're illuminating yourself, your inward and outward self as well.
MashaAllah.
And this is actually one hadith, the Messenger of Allah who said that when a person performs a wudu, his sins begin to fall off him.
And even the Quran says, "Sima'un fi wujuhim min athar
min athar sujood." From the you can see it from the effect of sujood. Now, many of them for sujood actually said that this comes down to a light that would be on a person's face on the day of resurrection, because he used to perform prostration to Allah in salah. And we also know from the hadith of Abu Hurairah as well that the people of wudu will come ghurran muhajjirin. They will literally be white. There will be white marks on them, illuminating the day of resurrection,
mashallah,
as a sign that these are the people of wudu. But let's get straight into
What is wudu? Tell me what. So now we want to do wudu.
Wudu. We have water. Okay.
Pretend there's water here.
Pretend there's water in front of us. Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot of details to it. If you cannot find water, if you can't use water, so cover that in the Islam channel. We'll be going over that in depth, inshallah.
Yeah.
So say we have water in front of us. The first thing that you should do, is recommended, is of course, firstly, you have to have the intention that you're going to perform wudu.
Yes.
And say Bismillah, if you remember, Bismillah in the name of Allah. Right, and take the water in your right hand, run it over your left, and likewise take it in your left hand, run it over your right hand. It's recommended to do it. So clean your hands first up to the wrists.
Okay.
And after that, take the water and put it in your mouth, and you can use your fingers to wipe your teeth or to gargle, essentially.
Do you put it in your mouth and nose at the same time?
You can do that if you want as well, but just for the sake of ease, and this takes a bit of practice to get used to that, which is the sunnah as well. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do that. In fact, there's a number of characteristics of how he used to do that. For the sake of ease and brevity, we'll do this one. So take the water, place it in your mouth, gargle, use your finger to clean your teeth, and spit out.
Okay.
It's recommended to do that three times.
Okay.
After that, take a handful of water, and breathe slightly, ever so slightly, into your nose, and then use that, your left hand, to kind of expel whatever in your nose, and it's recommended also to do that three times. Then after that, you would wash your face. Okay, so literally you wash your face starting from your forehead up until your Adam's apple area, your throat, essentially the beginning of your throat, and from the sides, if you can see here, the beginning of your ear to the other side. So you take water and you'll cover that whole area. And if you've got a beard like yourself, mashallah, tabarakallah, then it's recommended to just put your fingers through your beard, because it's quite thick, isn't it? But if you have a slight beard, then you should actually make sure water reaches your skin.
Alright, so wash the face.
So you wash the face, then you will take water and wash your arms, both arms up to and including the elbow. Yeah? So literally, how would you do it? Demonstrate it. So you take the water. Yep.
Yeah.
And you can take it with this hand, kind of let it slide down if you want.
Okay.
And the point being is that just make sure it's washed. And same for this arm.
Everything's got to be covered.
Everything has to be covered in water.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, you would take a little bit of water in your hands, a little bit of water. So literally hold it like this, so it's not, you don't have a handful of water. And you pass it over your head, mm-hmm. beginning with your hair until the end of it, and then back again as well.
Do you do the ears at the same time?
Ears can be after.
Okay.
Ears can be after, there's no problem with that. You'd insert your index finger in, within, your thumbs within, and then your index finger outside, and clean the frontal lobe and the back of your ear as well.
Okay.
And that's essentially most of wudu done. The only thing left for that is to wash your feet.
Okay.
So you literally just wash your feet, including between your toes, up and including the ankle. And that's it, you can do that three times as well. Most actions in wudu, it's recommended to do three. Okay,
right.
But it's what's compulsory is only to do one.
Now, there's it's interesting, it's good that you mentioned like the sunnah way of doing it. So right now people should realize that
Absolutely.
That's the sunnah way of doing it. Say for example, they've got a little water.
General
rule of thumb, I know the Hanbalis say that you have to do the mouth and the nose, yeah? But general rule of thumb, could we say for those new Muslims, they could just look at the verse of the Quran.
Look at the verse in the Quran, Surah Ma'idah, the fifth chapter.
Yes.
It's called the Ayah of Wudu, the verse of Wudu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about which إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions four body parts. Follow those body parts.
Yeah, that's so those four, is that's what's compulsory.
That's what's compulsory.
Okay.
In addition to it being in order
mm-hmm.
and being together at the same time.
Perfect.
And that's wudu done. Alhamdulillah. You've now entered a state of ritual purity
mm-hmm.
and now you can begin to pray your salah.
One more important question. Say so, someone, a woman is, for example, she's menstruating.
Yes. Oh, so if a woman, so now what is there are certain things that if they're happening, a person cannot perform wudu.
Yes,
a person
and cannot pray either.
Cannot pray either.
Yeah.
And there's certain other actions that are not compulsory and not required of the person, such as if a woman is in her menses, then she doesn't have to pray.
Mm.
She does not have to fast.
Mm.
You know, certain things are lifted from her.
And well, for example, if someone has had sexual intercourse or had ejaculated.
Yeah, exactly. So now ejaculation, you've entered into a realm where a person, wudu won't suffice this person alone.
So what
he'll have to have a, we call it a ghusl, it's just a full body shower.
Perfect.
That's it. So literally have a shower
and
cover your whole
nose.
Body, mouth and nose,
mm-hmm.
and also do wudu as well.
Yes.
With intention to purify yourself and to pray salah.
Inshallah.
And then, alhamdulillah, you're
Done.
Ready to perform salah.
Done. Okay.
So now we'll come to salah, inshallah.
We'll come to salah. So how many prayers are there a day?
So there are five prayers a day.
Okay.
This is what's compulsory upon you. And
yes.
There's other prayers as well that are recommended to pray. In fact, it's very heavily emphasized. For example, the prayer of the witr prayer, which is one minimum of one unit after your Isha prayer. And there's a number of other recommended prayers as well. For example, there are the 10 units of prayer that should be prayed, two before Fajr, which is the dawn prayer, two and after Dhuhr, the midday prayer, two after the Maghrib prayer, the sunset prayer.
But there are five prayers. Five compulsory prayers.
And then
prayers.
Two after the Isha, but it's five compulsory prayers.
Okay.
And that's
Let's stick to those for now. Let's say we're going to be using the word Raka'ah. What is Raka'ah?
Raka'ah is a unit of prayer.
What does that mean?
Now, when you start your prayer, there are a number of actions and things and statements that you will do, and literally you will go into sujood and then rise up from sujood. Okay, so you know what? Let's start the prayer.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
So you start prayer by firstly facing the Qibla. You're in a state of ritual purity, alhamdulillah.
Okay. Qibla is the?
The Qibla is the Kaaba,
yes.
Mecca, where the Kaaba is.
And how would they do that?
Compass, or you can, there's apps online.
Apps
on your phone, websites, etc.
Okay. Right.
Or you can, with the mihrab as well, you know, with the, in the masjid,
yeah,
you have a bit
wherever
of fun.
It's facing.
Wherever it's facing, you can work it out, you can ask someone trustworthy.
So you have to face the Mecca, yeah?
Face the Mecca. So say, for example, we're facing Mecca,
alright? Okay.
So say, for example, we're facing Mecca, okay?
Yeah.
You start by firstly having the intention. The intention is really important, essential to all acts of worship.
You don't have to say it out loud?
You don't have to say it out loud, you can say it within the heart.
Okay.
And you tend to pray the Dhuhr prayer, for example, then dawn prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's take Fajr, the Fajr prayer, for example,
okay.
Dawn prayer.
The first prayer.
Yeah, the first prayer. So you'll face Mecca, you'll have
okay.
the intention.
Mm.
You start the prayer by
saying
Allahu Akbar. And then you bring your hands here, right hand on top, the left hand, and you can place it underneath the belly button, above the belly button. You'll find in Salah there's a number of differences amongst the scholars. In fact, all of them, alhamdulillah, sunnah, they've all been narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform them one time or the other. So it's all correct, alhamdulillah. And it's not an issue that you should really be like severe.
Yeah. So Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Place it here or here, wherever you want.
Yes.
And then you start reciting Suratul Fatiha. We're discussing the actions that are compulsory upon everyone to
okay.
read.
Not
there's a lot of recommended actions
yeah.
and stuff like that and
mm-hmm.
sayings. So we face the Qibla. So say, for example, now
I'm facing the Qibla.
Ustad Muhammad is facing the Qibla. We start by raising your hands and saying Allahu Akbar. and clasping your right hand over your left hand above the belly button, below it. It's really a very minute issue. Both, all of them are authentically narrated from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And now, what's an obligation salah is to begin reading Surah Al-Fatiha, the first chapter of the Qur'an, the mother of the Qur'an, the most important chapter of the
and
Qur'an.
And you have to read that?
And you have to read that in every rak'ah.
What if it's a new Muslim, he doesn't memorize that?
If he hasn't, then there's a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood that Mr. Prophet said, you can say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar.
Okay, say that again.
Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar.
Okay, but they have to memorize?
Surah Al-Fatiha, and it's very, mashallah, tabarakallah, the whole of the Quran has been made easy to memorize.
Okay, so what's Fatiha, just so you know?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. In fact, why don't you recite it for us? Bismillah. Recite it for us.
Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
ولا الضالين آمين. As you say in Salah, Ameen, as it's a form of supplication, Alhamdulillah. Beautiful Tilawah, may Allah increase you in khair. After that, you may now go into what we call Ruku', which is the bowing.
It's, what would you say, it's mustahab, it's recommended to say some other surah?
It's recommended to read another surah if you want.
But this is not, we're talking about the bare basics.
Bare basics of your prayer.
Okay.
Okay. So go straight into, say Allahu Akbar.
Do I put my hands up?
Yeah, say Allahu Akbar. Now go straight into Ruku'.
Yeah.
And now Ruku', it's important to keep your back straight and your head down with your back, and you can just look at your ankles. Your ankles, that's fine, inshallah. And of course, it's narrated that the Messenger of Allah, when he would go into ruku', his back would be completely straight, so that if you were to place something on top of him, it would not roll over. So like this, mashallah, tabarak. It's a bit bent, but alhamdulillah. And then in your ruku', you would read, Subhana Rabbiyal Azeem. Subhana Rabbiyal Azeem, it literally means, glory and exalted be Allah, the Most High, the Most Mighty.
Okay.
Okay, so say Subhanallah Al-Azim.
Subhanallah Al-Azim.
You can recite it three times, but one is enough. One is the what's obligation. But of course, three is recommended, and even more as an odd number, inshallah. And yeah, then you'd rise from your ruku'. And as you're rising, you say,
Sami'allahu liman hamida.
And that means, my Lord hears the hamd or the praise of Sami'allahu liman hamida. Allah hears the one who has praised him. And you can also raise your hand up as you're coming. So if you're on ruku', then you can just raise your hand up, Sami'allahu liman hamida, and you can place it on the side. You can place it on the side, or you can clasp it as you're clasping now. It's a valid difference of opinion, and it's fine, inshallah. After that, you would say, actually,
Rabbana
wa lakal hamd. So you're saying, Subhana Rabbil Azeem, and then you would say, Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Sami'allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Then you'll go into sujood, into prostration. Okay? Now, prostration, it's very simple. You know, you keep your hands next to your head, same with as your shoulders. It can be high or it can be up to your shoulders, up to your head, it's fine. And in your sujood, in your prostration, you'd say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So glory be to Allah, the Most High. So in fact, you can see in ruku', in bowing, it's Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. But in sujood, in prostration, it is
Subhana
Rabbi al-A'la, and you say that three times or more if you want, and you may invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. In sujood, again, as you can see in the image, that you'll have, your hands, you can keep it next to your head or next to your shoulders, and your feet will be raised, your toes will be facing the Qibla like your hands, and in it you say, Subhana
Rabbi
al-A'la, the most, glory be to Allah, the Most High. And of course, in ruku', in bowing, you'd say what? So the difference is Al-Azim and A'la. And then you would kneel, you would come up from your prostration and you would kneel as you can see in the image, and you would say, Rabbighfirli, oh my Lord, forgive me. You can say that twice. Rabbighfirli. And then you'll go back into prostration and you say the dua that we said,
Subhana Rabbi al-A'la,
three times. And then you'd rise from your prostration, but you would not kneel, you would stand up.
Okay.
So, and you come back into your prayer position.
Right.
And that, my brothers and sisters, is considered as
A rak'ah,
one unit of prayer, alhamdulillah.
Perfect. So now let's detail exactly how many units are in each prayer.
Excellent. So in Fajr, the salah that we're praying now,
the first prayer,
the dawn prayer, the first prayer, is two units. In the second unit, you will not stand back up. You'd enter into something called a tashahud. Now, tashahud is, should we go through it?
We will after we go through this.
Okay, so that's 2 units of prayer in Fajr. Now Dhuhr, 4 units of prayer. Mm-hmm. Asr, 4. Maghrib, 3. And Isha, the last prayer, the night prayer, 4.
Okay.
4. Yep. And then you can pray a witr, which is 1 unit of prayer after that.
Okay, which is not compulsory.
Which is not compulsory, but it's very recommended, heavily recommended
inshallah.
To pray, inshallah.
Yeah.
And there's a number of other optional prayers that are recommended as well.
So, now obviously some prayers have the ones with 4.
Yeah.
And the ones with 3.
Yeah.
There is something that happens which is not the same as, for example, in Fajr. What is the tashahud that you were talking about?
Oh, tashahud happens in the second unit of prayer. After you come up for prostration, you remain kneeling. So you actually go down into prostration, and then you come up, remaining in the kneeling position.
Yes.
And then you go back down to prostration, mm-hmm. and then you come up, but you will not stand, you will stay sitting, and you will recite something called the tashahud.
Can you recite it for us?
So you say, At-tahiyyatu lillah, wa-salawatu wa-tayyibat, as-salamu alayka ayyuhal nabi, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, as-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And you place your point with your finger, so you're sitting out like this on your lap, you point with your finger. When you say this, or you can keep it pointed throughout the whole thing, you know, it's the issue's mine, inshallah. And then you continue to the Salat Ibrahimiyya, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. وبارك اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. And then you can end with a dua, and that is your prayer done. You would say السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
And that's so in.
And now the Fajr prayer is finished.
Yes. So tashahhud is a general rule of thumb. You always have to stay, except for the witr. We're talking about the five pillars. You always have to stay at the second rak'ah. You always have to stay down.
Yes, so there's always a tashahhud in the second rak'ah. In the Fajr Salah, you'd finish your prayer after completing the tashahhud, and the Salat Ibrahim, salutation upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the dua at the end. Whereas in Dhuhr, you would just say the tashahhud. After you say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, you'd stand up into the third unit of prayer.
Okay, perfect. So,
and the third unit of prayer, there's no tashahhud. And in the fourth unit of prayer, there is the tashahhud.
What about Maghrib, the fourth
Maghrib, so yeah, there's tashahhud in the second, as we've said. As a rule of thumb, there's always tashahhud in the second rak'ah. Mm-hmm. And then in the third rak'ah, the unit of prayer, there's another tashahhud as well. And then you conclude
your prayer. And likewise, how do you conclude your prayer?
So
what does the salam look like?
So let's face it. You're in salah, your hands are on your knees. You'd say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. That's your right. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Now you have finished your salah. And of course, then you recommended to enter into certain remembrances from the Sunnah.
Yes. We finished the prayers.
Alhamdulillah, we have done the prayer. The prayer is SubhanAllah, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when one of you prays Salah, إِنِّهُ يُنَادِي رَبَّهُ. It's as if he is conversing with his Lord.
Allah.
So the prayer, SubhanAllah, is not just movements, it's a conversation. We pray as if we can see Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And if we cannot see Allah,
he can see.
Then we know Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sees us.
MashaAllah. Let's move on to what's the third
so
one?
So we'll move on to Zakat.
Okay.
Now zakat is the compulsory alms or payment that a Muslim should make if certain conditions are fulfilled. Now zakat is a long subject, and there's roughly 5 things a person has to pay zakat on.
Yes.
So zakat literally means to purify. خُذْ مِنْ Allah says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُظَهِّرُهُمْ مُتَزَكِّيمِ. It's take from their wealth, صَدَقَةً, charity to zakihim, that purify them. And you know,
so it's
a purification. By paying this money that is due upon a certain amount of money, if certain conditions are fulfilled, it's as if you're purifying yourself.
How many kinds of zakat are there?
There's a number of different types of zakat. So you can pay zakat on ma yakhruj min al-ard. So this includes
what's that?
Grain.
In English?
This includes grain, things that are produced from the earth.
Yes.
You can pay zakat on honey, you pay zakat on treasure, you pay zakat on gold and silver, and today, of course, we pay zakat also on money.
Okay?
Money. So for example, if a person possesses roughly 85 grams of gold or 595 grams of silver, you convert that in today's money, today's currency. If you have that amount of money and you've had it over 1 year and you fill the other conditions of zakat, then you pay zakat on that.
Mm-hmm.
You'll pay 2.5% of your wealth from that.
Okay. And what is zakat al-fitr?
Zakat al-fitr, of course, now there's a number of different types of zakat. There's zakat al-fitr, which is the zakat that you would pay at the end of the month of Ramadan of fasting, which is the pillar we'll come to next, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So at the end of fasting that month, you pay this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, طهرة للصائمين, like a purification for the ones who have fasted. If anything's happened in their fast, then you pay that money. Of course, nowadays, mashallah, tabarakallah, you can just, you know, you can go to any kind of Islamic charity,
yes,
and they'll deal with all of this for you. Even on the websites, you know, you can select zakat, and then they'll do the rest.
How much money do you have to have in order to pay zakat?
We just mentioned.
Yes?
Yeah, so we mentioned 595 grams of silver.
Well, how much money is that?
Oh, we have to convert it. So you'll have to go online, convert it now, and that would be...
Okay, and the charities will do that for us?
The charities will take care of everything for you, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, things have been made very, very easy for us.
Okay.
And that, in a nutshell, is zakat. Now, the next pillar is fasting. Mm-hmm. Fasting. In fact, fasting? Many mentioned fasting before zakat, actually. Mm-hmm. And our fasting is fasting the month of Ramadan, a certain from dawn until sunset, refraining from food, drink, and sexual intercourse, and other different types of things that invalidate one's fast. And this is, of course, subhanAllah, something where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined upon us. He says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا
كُتِبَ
عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting has been prescribed upon you, O you who have iman, mm-hmm, faith, just as it's been prescribed on those who came before you. Why?
So you may gain consciousness.
So that you may have taqwa of Allah. And this is the ultimate goal of fasting.
Mm-hmm.
The Prophet ﷺ said in one hadith that, you know, if a person does not leave shahadat al-zur, qawl al-zur, wa amala bihi, doesn't leave lying and bad things and disobedience of Allah, then Allah has no need for his fast.
Mm.
It's as if a person hasn't benefited. Mm. If you're literally fasting, the best way it's been described is that it is like a one-month intensive that you will go through to attain piety. SubhanAllah.
Talking about intensives, let's go to Hajj.
Hajj is really intensive.
Really?
MashaAllah, tabarak. As you can see, Hajj is something that is obligatory, compulsory upon everyone to do it at least once in their life, mm-hmm, in addition to Umrah, the lesser pilgrimage, which can be done at the same time. Hajj is a
powerful scenes, isn't it?
Powerful scenes, subhanAllah. A real journey of the soul. You know, it's physically, you know, quite daunting. There's a lot of things to do, but really it connects you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just one scene in Hajj, if you can see it behind us, the day of Arafah. Now this is the ninth day of Hajj. Of course, Hajj has a number of things that must be done within it. There's a number of different rituals, and this is not the time and place to go into it.
Mm-hmm.
But take a look at the day of Arafah, the ninth day of Hajj. This is a day, subhanAllah, in which there is not a single supplication except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer it for those that are in the day of Arafah, the area of Arafah.
Mm-hmm.
And subhanAllah, something amazing. It's the only place that I know where you have millions upon millions upon millions of people from midday until Maghrib, literally standing, beseeching, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, begging Allah for anything they want, everything they want, their salvation in this life and the next. Like, it's truly, it's hard, amazing how people go
with ridat and izar, like a white clothes.
Absolutely.
No one knows who's rich, no one knows who's rich,
no one knows who's poor. Mm. You could be standing next to a king, you could be standing next to a, you know, someone less than that.
Jazakumullah khairan for watching. Is there anything else we need to say?
The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, the famous companion, may yuridillahu bihi khairan yufaqihu fi al-deen. Whomsoever Allah wants good for, will give him understanding of
the religion.
Allah. So the fact you're watching this video,
Allah wants good for you.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for you.
Unless you're watching this to try and refute the Muslims.
Yeah, well then, subhanAllah, unfortunately, we ask Allah to guide you.
Well, now you know how what you would do, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Make sure you subscribe, and you do make sure that you keep an eye out for this new must-know show, which will be a show, inshallah, which will cover the things you must know as Muslims.
Bi-idhnillah. Barakallah. And I'll be going into more in depth as well in my own personal channel as well.
Yes, which is down in the description. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.